Good afternoon, Muskegon. You know what time it is. Hi, I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts. The show, Torn in Two, you know what time it is. The show for news, information, and more. Today is June 10, 2022. The temperature outside is 66 degrees. It's a beautiful day. If you're not doing anything tonight, we'll be playing some jazz at Hackney Park. So come out and check us out. We have so much stuff to talk about. Of course, there was the televised meeting of the hearing about the insurrection. We have what happened in Grand Rapids with the Kent County prosecuting officer Christopher Secure with second degree murder. I mean, we have a lot to talk about, and we will address those issues, but not today because we have an exciting guest that we need to get on. But I want to talk a little bit about last week. I want to thank Pastor Burns for sitting in for me while I was recovering from surgery. For everybody, well wishes. Thank you so much for your prayers. So I'm back in the seat today, but he's off with the death and so of his aunt. So we're praying for him. I want to thank Cedric and Lewis for coming on and talking about the mindset of all this trauma that we're dealing with. And I want to thank Karen Bowie with the announcement of some of the candidates with a mistake on their paperwork have left them out of the race. So with that said, I need you to share this message. If you're on Facebook or if you would like to get involved, say you're listening to us on radio and you'd like to be involved in today's discussion, go to WUVS 103.7 The Beat on Facebook, or you can go to M106. Today is going to be a very interesting topic. You are going to love our guest today. Well, let's get to it. You know me, put your hands together for our guest, Asetta Moore. Come on to the stage. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming on the show. Asetta, please introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about yourself before so we can go into the subject.
All right. Asetta Moore, founder of the Black Map Genius Program. I'm a former high school principal and teacher. Actually started my teaching career in Lansing, Michigan at Sankofa Shule. Graduate of Michigan State University, studied mathematics and engineering. And I'm looking to solve a very specific problem and have a very specific solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, Asetta, tell us about this problem, and let's talk about the problem first. And let's go deep. And don't hold. This is one of the shows we ask that you don't hold back, other than swear words and all that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
But other than that, we want you to tell us the root, the cause, how you feel, and then let's talk about your solution.
Absolutely. And so as an educator, you know, I recognize that there were problems with Black students and their proficiency specifically in mathematics. And when I started teaching, a volunteer teacher at 18 years old, I didn't go through, you know, teacher school, if you will. So I didn't have any preconceived notions. I had not gone in thinking that certain students can and cannot learn. When I started teaching them, I started teaching them the things that I was learning in my engineering and mathematics classes in college to middle school students, and they were excelling. Mm. And so when I left that environment, came into other environments, specifically in Chicago, it's like, wait a minute, now I'm dealing with high school students that don't know their multiplication tables. What's wrong here? And how did this happen? Right. And so when I started looking at the education, it's like, it's not really designed in the best way to make sure that Black students are getting the most of it. And we're often speaking about this achievement gap. And I keep saying it's not an achievement gap. An achievement gap would imply that Black people are stupid and that they can't learn at the same rate that other people can learn. Mm-hmm. Instead, what it is it's in a belief gap. And people do not believe in the intellect of Black children the same way that they believe in the intellect of others.
I said, right. Hold on. Let's pass the plate because she preaching good already. Can you please repeat what you just said? Because it is very important that people hear clearly. Definitely. What you just said.
We do not have an achievement gap. An achievement gap will imply that our children are not capable of learning at the same level that white and Asian children are learning. It is a belief gap. When you do not believe in someone, when you do not believe in children, you do not have the same expectations of them. Mm-hmm. So you allow certain failures that you would not allow in others. You do not respect them in the same way. Mm-hmm. They're more easily to be called out for discipline infractions. When you look at the suspension data, you'll mm-hmm. see that. But if you look at it on the flip side from the student's eyes, right? If you look at it from the student's eyes, why are they getting suspended? Why are they more often late to class? Why do they miss class more? Mm-hmm. When you feel not at ease, a dis-ease, right? You don't want to be in that environment. You will disrespect the teacher to get put out of class. Mm-hmm. You're okay with being suspended because you do not want to be in an environment that is not serving you well. So mm-hmm. we have to flip the way in which that we're looking at and stop looking at our children as a problem. And look at that what they're doing is actually reacting to a problem, right?
Now, and this, let's be honest. They are good. Of course, they're good teachers out there. Absolutely. But there are a lot of teachers, being one that have coached and been in the schools for 30 some odd years, that already have a pad written out and signed. And all they're looking is to apply your name to kick you out of class.
Absolutely.
And so let's go deeper into what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so that's the belief piece of it. The other thing is that our children do not see themselves in learning. In short, what they get from school is this: you were enslaved, we freed you passively, we freed you, and you all haven't done anything good since. We're not represented in a good light. And when we are represented, the history usually starts with slavery. Nowhere in our mathematics and science books is it told to us that Black people gifted the world with mathematics. Pythagoras did not create the Pythagorean theorem. It was being used in ancient Egypt by Black scientists, mathematicians, and engineers 2,030 years before he was born. There's evidence of this still in the King's Chamber and the Great Pyramids in what we now call Egypt. Okay, over 45,000 years ago in southern Africa in the Lobombo region, there was a bone found that has markings on it that suggests that Black women was the very first to do mathematics. Mm. The second mathematical instrument found, the second oldest mathematical instrument found, is in Central Africa in the Ishango region. Again, it shows where the mathematics has advanced. And now they're working with multiples of 12, threes and fours, prime numbers. Again, thought to have been used by a Black woman. Mm-hmm. And this is not told. When you look at the data now, it looks like Black people have some type of deficiency against mathematics. No matter how you slice the data, we are at the bottom. I was in a school district yesterday, day before yesterday, actually in Michigan. And in this school district, I'm looking at the data. And when you compare Black children to special needs students, they score lower than white students, of course, lower than Asian Hispanics, lower than when you compare them to the poorest white people in the district, lower than even if you pull out your most wealthy of Black students, compare them to the lowest earnest of white students, lower than that represents data in most white districts, majority white districts across the country. And so then you have to get at why. Why?
Can you touch on the curricula of the public schools?
System? Yeah, I mean, first of all, just in general, because it's doing a huge disservice to Black children But it's doing a huge disservice to just American students in general. That's first and foremost. Now, as it relates to Black children, the curriculum, it is not designed for them. And you say you like to go deep on this program. You really have to take a step back and think, will the oppressor ever create a curriculum that would free the minds of those that they oppress? Right?
Wow.
When has that ever happened? You would never walk into any place in Jerusalem, in Jewish homeland, as they call it, their Jewish home. You would never go there and find a majority Jewish school district led by majority German administration. 70% of the teachers are German, and they're teaching German history from a German perspective to Jewish children. Jewish people would not allow that.
Right. And William Kitchen, exactly, thank you for that question, is that not only the public schools, but in general, our teachings are inadequate. And not only, as you said, the history, now people are trying to get rid of the little history that you teach, are now trying to get rid of that history.
Yeah. And of course, I was looking at a piece earlier, and there's this, it's actually a famous actor. I can't think of his name right now. Sorry. But there is this book called Without Sanctuary, and it's a pictorial book. And they were explaining in the book the history. And I had never heard this particular story, and I know a lot about history, but how with the bodies of Black people, when they would have these picnics and shred their bodies and fry them to no end, that they were then taking pictures of pieces of the body. And then they were even selling these pictures as postcards, right? And so it is a very nasty, inhumane history in this country. Mm-hmm. And you got to think about the mindset. If you're teaching children a true history, first of all, true history is empowering. When you learn the contributions that your ancestors have made to this country and to society overall, it's empowering. And it says to you, this is what you're capable of.
Why do you feel that people fear? Wait a minute. Let me go to the board. Rhonda Aubrey said, awesome and well-needed information. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Why do you think that people are afraid of us knowing the truth?
Man, we're the host to everyone else's economic foundation. What is the Chinese economy without Black people? What is white wealth without Black people?
And the thing is that
we are the host.
We are the host, but a lot of people don't understand that, or like you said, that information is held back where mathematics originally came from.
Right. Right.
So I want to go back to the information that you, being in that school district in Michigan yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
What people fail to understand, that just like others go to other countries, you talked about Israel, you go to other countries, they're taught multiple languages. It is expected
to learn
them. Yeah. They are taught mathematics to prepare them to compete on an international level. But when it comes down to our country, we teach at a level that where we can't even compete in a global market, not even to mention a international market.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and that's the case. I have some books from West Africa here, and they're very thin books, but they get straight to the meat of mathematics. And when you go to Ghana, Senegal, any of those places, little kids will run up to you and start speaking. They're going to speak to you until they figure out which language it is. They'll start off speaking to you in German, French, English. And these are little kids that know multiple languages by 6, 7, 8 years old. Children that are walking miles to school to get an education, and many that can't afford the education. I think when I was there, it was like $6 a year. So we paid the tuition for a number of children that are there. But yes, they're taught to compete on a global level. We mm-hmm. also aren't, I mean, think about it. We're often called, you know, a minority, right? But minority in relation to what? Because when you look at it on a global scale, Black people are not a minority. I've been to many countries, and every country that I went to, from Russia to Finland to Sweden to Africa to the Caribbean, I've seen Black people. Black people are one of the majority groups in the world. And so when you look at what Europe and European people of European descent have done on a global scale, and how they carved up Africa for themselves and said, here, France, you take this part. Here, Germany, you take this part. United States, you take this part. You have to, I mean, it's like being in a cheating relationship, right? If the spouse is cheating, they start looking at the other spouse sideways, like, you might be cheating too, right? Mm. And so they're looking at it like, wait a minute. If we let these Black folks get a hold and start operating as a unit on a global scale and they take their resources back, what does that mean for us?
I need a, another question from William Kitchen. So what are you guys' thoughts on critical race theory?
Critical race theory is a distraction. And it's
say it again.
Yeah, it's a distraction. First of all, it was something that was taught at the college level to college students to look at how race impacts the justice system. Critical race theory is not about teaching true history. They've called the Black Math Genius program critical race theory when I was in the school district in a heavily Trump supported area. Mm-hmm. And my response to that when they're asking questions, first of all, you don't get to debate with me. You don't have the credentials that I have to debate with me. You barely graduated high school and you just finished working in a coal mine. So you do not get to debate with me about mathematics and Black history. So I do not dignify ignorance with my intellect. If I argue with a fool and someone comes along, how are they going to know which one of us is the fool? I'm looking like a fool just from arguing with them.
Please, I don't want to slow down the interview, but you got so much meat on the bone that we got to go back and get some to make another sandwich. Please repeat what you said. I know I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's important for people to hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say it again. I do not argue with fools. If someone came along and saw the two of us arguing, how are they going to recognize which one of us is the fool? Right? And so certain people do not get to question me. And I'm with a private company. I'm trying to solve a problem that impacts Black people. And I'm not asking anyone for anything. And so I don't have to explain myself. Just because a white person asks me a question does not mean that I have to explain.
Let's go back to the board. Dr. William Kitchen said, you got a good one today, Mr. Roberts. Sure do. And Rhonda said, well said. You're being received quite well. Okay. So, all right. You don't argue. And we find ourselves, I call it the copy and paste generation. Without any thought or foresight, they just take somebody else's opinion and put it on their site, and that's their opinion without any thought.
Yes.
And we're too busy arguing with each other over stuff that a lot of us don't even understand or not even important, like you said, a distraction.
Absolutely, a distraction. Now, and I'll add this to the school district that I was in yesterday was majority white. But here's what I respect and like about it. First of all, their energy was good, and that's good for the end of the year for educators. Number two, they were very honest in saying that we have a problem with our Black students and we do not know how to solve it. That is why we're reaching out for help. Mm. I can respect that. And that is how you start to solve problems. Whereas in other districts, there's they've tried to have this distraction about, oh, she's bringing in critical race theory. I don't have time for that. And so there are some districts that are going to get it right. And we're looking to work with those districts. In those cases, when white people are in the room and they're degreed up and they understand education, they've been working with Black children, then of course I can have a conversation with them. But also those aren't the white people that are bringing up critical race theory. And so those I would say those others, those white people that know what's right, more of them need to be speaking up. Because silence also contribute either in one argument or the other. And if you're not speaking against something, you're silently supporting it.
You're preaching good. You're preaching good. Okay. So before we get down totally to the bottom of the hour, what are some other inconceived problems that you see that are out there?
We attack our parents a lot. And one of the things is that when I was a principal, I was the one receiving a paycheck every 2 weeks from taxpayers, meaning from parents, to do a job. So I always looked at parents as my boss. And so for educators to sit back and talk about what parents aren't doing at home is none of our business. The way that I look at it from a professional standpoint is, what are we doing when we get the children? And we spend too much time complaining about the problems. And so what I did with my staff was I had a few sayings. Number one, we don't complain, we deal with it. And so don't bring me a problem if you don't have a solution. Do not say, hey, we're getting ninth graders in that are reading at a sixth grade level.
Problem.
Okay, and what? Problem. Instead, what I want to hear is, Ms. Moore, because we have ninth graders that are reading two grade levels below, we're suggesting that we have an after school program where we get them started with their homework. And that is what we did. Ms. Moore, the problem is that only 25% of our parents are showing up to student teacher conferences. I told my team I want 100%. We got to 97% and I still wasn't happy because I said 100%. So those few parents that didn't come, you go to their home, right? And so we have to be more intentional about solving problems and not blaming parents, especially if we're in the educator's seat, because I never met a parent that did not want their child to be successful. And they're not educators.
Now, what you just said is extremely important, because I know that my years being in schools and stuff and coaching, it was mandatory that the parents be involved. It wasn't that you can be involved. It was not even a question. It was like, your child is in the sport, but the sport is more than about a sport. It's a program. It's to learn life lessons. It's to learn how to be a better child. All just numerous things. But the thing was, it was mandatory that those parents had to be involved.
And you speak to it, that's right there. So there are ways to do it. I made it part of one of the grades for their college prep grades that we had. We called it 6 to 16 class, preparing them for college. Basically what it did was I made it 31%. So if the parent didn't show, they automatically got a 69%. And for my school, below 70 was failing, right? And then I gave extra credit if you also brought your father, because oftentimes we didn't get men to show up. Mom and dad came, or male and female parent or guardian came, you got extra credit for that. So our conferences was packed. But then I served food. I set up a room for babysitting in case they needed to bring the younger children. I didn't want that to stop them.
Right.
We served ice cream. There was a section where they had coffee and tea with the admin where they can ask questions. We had video games going. We had one room that said, hey, parents, grade's not looking too hot. You want to strangle your kid? Instead, do yoga. And so we had a yoga room set up, but we turned it into a social event that was welcoming to parents, right? And then we had lines for conferences at that point.
Right. Just got to go to the board again. Rhonda, she says, has she had any opportunity or an option for assessing some of the educational system?
Yeah, I'm in different school districts, not a grand assessment. I mean, you know, my report would be very short. You know, it's crap.
It's crap.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's nationwide. It's nationwide.
I want to go back to that, the parent involvement, because the thing is that so often that just shipping them to school and not doing anything at home should be unacceptable.
I agree.
But Why is it that we or some parents accept that? Or here's another thing for you. In a school district that I was working in, there were parents that were like making every other excuse for failure of their child. Or don't, it's kind of that mentality, don't you touch my kid, that mentality, but yet not doing anything to solve the problem of the child struggling.
Yeah. And so I typically stay in the part of the problem where I can't solve. And that's with education, dealing with that piece. Outside of that, and I'll speak on that because you asked, is that there are a lot of other societal norms that have broken down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's having an impact as well. This whole mindset now of, you know, men and women bickering on social media, right?
Yes.
And, you know, we don't need men in this. No, we do need men. And men need women. And children yes. need to see healthy relationships. And parents need to parent. And I just did a post earlier, something like, you know, we expect to feed our children sugar all day, have them on tablets all afternoon, and then give them melatonin and drug them up to go to bed at night.
Wow.
Are we thinking about what they're going to become as adults? Obese, depressed, socially inept adults is what we're creating, right?
Right.
And so parenting has entered a really selfish phase. Remember, that was a period of time where people putting on social media a whole little joke sequence on F them kids, right? Mm-hmm. I'm taking trips leading to them. And no, I don't think people understand the correlation between you raising a child and what that child becomes as an adult. And you're either going to invest and pay now, or you're definitely going to invest and pay later. And you can invest and pay now, or you can invest in, you can be sending the money on their books in jail. You can be having them live in your home still. You can be paying emotionally because you're dealing with their depression and the stress that they have as an adult. But parenting, we're definitely dropping the ball on that.
Okay. All right. Now we're down at the bottom of the hour. You are listening or watching Torn in Two. We have Miss Moore here who is preaching, and we're about to pass the plate. Okay. So we're about at the bottom of the hour. What are our solutions? Well, let's go back to that parent, that feels inadequate of parenting.
Yeah. And so our solution through the Sankofa Club, we have blackmapgenius.com. And I created that program because it's predicted that by the year 2040, the combined net worth of Black Americans will be at zero. That means it is decreasing. Right now, it's only about $11,000. And decreasing. And so with that, we're preparing students to go into the fields that matter and that pay. Because right now, Black people are choosing, when they do decide to go to college, they're choosing majors that are going to keep them impoverished for another generation. Mm. And so we're looking to get them into the top earning majors and majors that contribute to the world and not just have us as consumers. And so the Black Math Genius program has a heavy focus on mathematics and programming, computer science. And we're preparing our children for careers of the future.
Okay, so let's talk about this mathematics program, how it was designed, and how it works.
Yes, and so we have three components. One is the boot camp, and it's a one-time purchase where you have a series of about 50 to 60 videos on mathematics instruction, and it really goes into the history of mathematics. And it really builds on their confidence. That's a lot of what our Black children are missing in school, their confidence in knowing that they can do mathematics. Then we have a tutoring program, our BMG Plus, Black Math Genius Plus tutoring program. This is fantastic for school districts, any school districts out there where you have students that are struggling with mathematics. We offer live tutoring services so they can come home and get help with their homework every day. And then we offer professional development services where we can come into schools and train teachers, administrators, principals on working with Black children, but just children. This works for children in general. And it's important for other children to learn about the contributions that Black people have made, because that's also how you develop respect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to the board. I mean, the questions are coming in fast and furious. Back to Rhonda. We no longer have an effective Black parenting in our community. which is true.
Yeah, she says, absolutely.
Which was an awesome benefit. And not only that, we also had community where maybe I bring up this, if it was 1 o'clock and I was walking home on a school day, and if I passed Mrs. Jenkins' house, and Miss Jenkins said, Greg, why are you out of school? Well, I got kicked out. Well, I got my belt kicked from Miss Jenkins, Mrs. Nelson, Mrs. Chambers, and Mr. Such and Such, and they all call my parents and say, Greg is at home. Then I got to deal with them. And then my parents made me go back to apologize to them. We're missing that sense of community as well as parenting.
Yes, and that goes back decades. Economically, Nixon in 1971 put us on a trajectory that we're on now.
Yeah.
And then in the 80s, Reagan put us on the downfall that we're on, especially with Black families. This man laid up, knew that he was shipping drugs into our communities, and his wife was talking about just say no.
Yeah. Would you even say as far back as even the Johnson administration?
Oh, yes. I mean, and he was complete fool, really. And that's why I study presidents, because you can always track specific problems to presidents.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Going all the way back to President McKinley in the late 1800s, early 1900s,
mm-hmm.
when he decided what parts of the world that he wanted and which countries he was going to annex on and so forth. So you can track all of these problems always back to specific presidents. And that's it, probably another hour, 2 hour show just on that. Right.
Oh, Ms. Moore, we're going to have you back. We're definitely going to have you back, yes. People, because I know the questions are coming in so fast and furious. But OK, so let's get back to the math program.
Yes.
I'm a parent and maybe I got through algebra, but I don't really know anything further. What should I do in teaching my child?
Yes. One, we have another free session that's coming up on the 16th. So that's next week. And you can go to blackmapgenius.com for anything that I'm speaking about, blackmapgenius.com. But we also have for parents, because a struggle point, especially Black children coming home, they don't want to have to do homework with mom and dad, because usually they're getting fussed at. That's a pain point for many Black households having to do homework, especially when they're working parents and multiple children in the home. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that's a lot of times why children aren't doing homework. With the Black Math Genius Plus tutoring services, they have help, where all they have to do is log in, get on Zoom, and they can ask their questions directly with a tutor. And our focus is on how we engage with children and making them feel welcome. Excellent job on that, Gregory. But right here, you didn't do so well. Tell me your thinking behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that's very different from saying, that's wrong.
Right. Right. Right.
No child wants to hear they're wrong all the time. So our tutors are trained on how to engage respectfully and in a fun and loving way with our children. And as I just told them today, you treat them as if they're your own babies, your own nieces and nephews and little cousins. Right.
That's good.
So that's the tutoring service piece that we have. And then, like I said, the professional development. So parents can do that directly at blackmapgenius.com. But let's go back to what Rhonda said earlier about this community piece. If you want to do it from a community standpoint, you go in and you take this to your children's school. So that not only your children can benefit from it, but other people's children can benefit. And you have the school bring it in and do it as a license for the school. So now that all the children in your community is getting access, because I always say that I am no better than the lowest person in whatever. I'm no better than the lowest Black woman. I'm no better than the lowest Black person. And we should all be bringing each other up. So that point that Rhonda made earlier is extremely important with community. So yes, you can get this for your child, but go into your school and say, hey, here's the Black Math Genius program. We know that it would be beneficial. It's being used across the country in Canada and the UK. And we want to see this in our school as well. Please reach out.
Let's go back to the board. Benita says, I love when schools have homework nights or Saturdays,
yes.
where the family can come in and assist in tutoring and a meal.
Yes, absolutely.
So, basically, one of the things that you and I we teach alike. It's like, okay, for instance, I always taught in my business, if don't bring me a problem without a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it positive. Also, you represent this business. Mm-hmm. And if I catch you on Facebook doing something, that's negative to the business. Reason why I bring that up is that the negative things that we say, and back to you, what you said about a fool, is impacting our kids because mm-hmm. we're too busy negatively saying things on Facebook and other places that are affecting our kids, and we don't think that that is happening.
But it's absolutely happening. They pay attention to everything that we do.
Mm.
Their learned behavior, they take it into schools, and they're mean to other people's children.
Okay,
to other people's children based on what they're seeing and hearing at home. Yes.
You just brought up, you said learned behavior.
Yes.
How do I, as a parent, become better and teach my child in that learning behavior, to learn behavior? Why is it important to learn? Instead of that, like you said, it's the hardest part of the day when they come home, and it's frustrating when they come home. How do we change that environment?
The best way to teach is through modeling. You want your children to be trustworthy. You have to show them trust. You have to trust them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to be comfortable even when they make a mistake, to be able to come home and say, "Mom, I'm failing in mathematics because I don't understand," as mm-hmm. opposed to saying, "Mom," or being scared and lying and saying, "I didn't get my grades," because they're afraid that they're going to get a spanking, or they're going to get yelled at, or they're going to be on punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes it's in the Black community that we view failure as something that needs to be punished. When part of business, you mentioned a business, this program that you have here, there were some things that you had to learn along the way. Imagine if you were punished every time you didn't get it right. Right?
Right.
Adults don't always get things right. Imagine if we were punched. We would hate our jobs. Some of us hate our jobs because of that very punitive environment that we have. We have to model. If we want our children to be loving, we have to be loving to them. Right.
You just brought up something that a lot of parents feel that they have to be, quote, quote, perfect, or they never made mistakes when they were going through math or going through school. So they don't go there with their child. How important is it for us to be transparent with our child in their learning?
It's extremely transparent. Because again, we want to even model how to learn from making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And if our children view us as, you know, oh, we don't make mistakes and we have to live up to mommy and daddy's expectations and this, we're setting them up for a very stressful environment, and that can often be depressive. And that's why a lot of times you'll have students that straight A students in high school, they get to college and they can't function because they got a B. Or C, and let alone that they end up with it failing a course. They don't know how to tell anyone. They now are questioning their intelligence because they have not been taught how to properly fail. There's strength in failure.
Mm. Okay, so talk about that strength in failure.
Yes, I mean, first of all, there's books on just the mindset and what your brain does when it recognizes that it has done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feed into it from a positive direction, then what you do is you then seek, okay, how to correct this. But what we're taught is that when that happens, we suppress that chemical transaction. We suppress it not to do better, but to question our self-worth.
Mm.
Right. Mm. But instead, and I had this up in the engineering classes that I used to teach, fail your way to success. Then there was one where this one animal was swallowing the head of another animal. And then the animal that was having his head swallowed was choking the one animal that had his head in its mouth, right? Mm. And it was like, there's always a way out, right? You know, you fight to the end type thing.
Right.
But I would push, and even when my engineering students would do something, it's like, oh, that's fine. Okay, what you just learned, that wasn't a mistake. You just figured out another way that didn't work, right? And if you and I had in there, I would give them the story of Dyson. You know, Dyson makes those fancy vacuums and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. It took him, I think it was like 530 times before he actually got it to work. And I told my students, he could have quit at 3,000 and people would have been like, man, you went to 3,000. You really gave it a try. It just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. He did not stop until he got that Dyson dryer, that vacuum to work the way that he wanted it to, you know? And that's so if you look at the greats, they put in a lot of practice. Jordan would tell you he missed more shots than he made before he got great. Mm-hmm. Practice, mm-hmm. right? Being okay with failure. Failure is supposed to push you to do more, not to quit and to have self-doubt.
I you bring up a very valid point about failure. The last thing that one of the last high schools that I taught at, there would be kids that I'm teaching bowling. That they're throwing the ball and they're just having a bad day. But my thought in that was that they would want to stay until they corrected. And if it was 9:30, 10:30 at night, we're going to stay until you feel comfortable in that correction. How important is that?
Extremely important. And see, I'm glad you gave that example, because there's a lot to learn in how we approach sports versus how we approach the academics. And both of my forms are intellect. Mm-hmm. Right. There are different forms of intellect. But the way that we approach sports, what you just said, not the deadline is at 10 o'clock. And if you don't have this bowling down packed by 10 o'clock, you fail. You said if you want to stay here all night until you get it right, you can do that. Mm-hmm. Right. That's a different approach. And you probably work with them on their form. OK, you know what? Hold it like this and do that. Mm-hmm. Right. Imagine if we're doing that with, all right, nope, not quite. You got it like this. Let's instead do it like this. And you can work on it as long as you need.
That's right. And the mathematics of the sport.
The mathematics of the sport, because bowling, you can compute that handicap by doing 160 minus 0.8 times the average, right? But people ain't bringing in the sports and the mathematics together, right?
That's right.
I do that with, we do that as well with Black Math Genius. You have that with bowling. You have golfing, where you're dealing with positive and negative numbers, integers, right? You have basketball with fractions, decimals, and percents. Bring that into the mathematics of it. You have fractions with music, right? A quarter note, an eighth note, so on and so forth. Because mm-hmm. children are interested in different things. You never know, for that one student that's really into music and you relate fractions and music together, and that's going to click for them.
Okay, 15 minutes. And I'm telling this program, I need you guys to go share this right now to at least catch the last 15 minutes of this interview. Okay. So you have several components of the Black Math Genius, right?
Yes.
What is the goal? What is the goal for you to me? As a parent, what is the goal to you, to the child, and what is the ultimate goal overall?
The ultimate goal overall is to get more Black people into STEM fields. Right mm-hmm. now, we are grossly underrepresented in every mathematics-related field. Engineering, computer science, physics, environmental science, you name it. We're at the bottom. We are grossly underrepresented. Mm-hmm. Okay. That is the ultimate goal. That will have a huge impact on the wealth gap. Because if we're earning more, we can now afford homes. Homes is the biggest wealth driver in this country. And typically what people do with the equity in their homes is to send their children to college and start businesses. We're not in a position to do that. And that is why the wealth is diminishing in Black communities. Our goal for the children specifically is to make sure that we build up their confidence first, get their interest in mathematics, and then take them far in both mathematics and computer science.
That's
and
good.
For the parents, we are a support to help them and to take the weight to the parents and the schools, because it's a lot on teachers as well. Teachers are having to do more and more every year. And it will help that if a teacher know that they gave homework, that the child is going to have support at home to get that homework done.
Okay. Let's go on the bad side of equation of a quote quote math, where the smart quote quote smart people tell you if you are Black and if you grew up in a house of domestic violence and if you grew up where there's drug abuse or you grew up where there's no dad, then you only three things can possibly happen to you. Because that's what I was told. Mm-hmm. Me, I said, you're a liar and I'm going to make what you said, I'm going to prove you wrong. How do we instill that in our children?
And that goes back to what I originally said with the belief gap, right?
Yeah.
Because even with all of that, if you still believe in it, you have you, Gregory T. Roberts, you have me, Asada Moore. That was my environment. I grew up on the south side of Chicago in the projects. I saw my grandfather killed going out to get ice cream when I was like 5, 6 years old. I had four brothers. I'm now down to one. Three of them lost to gun violence. I grew up in with 11 aunts and uncles, right? During the 80s and all, where drugs and everything was rampant. Okay, I've had two of my uncles to die in my home. I've had shootings on the block, so on and so forth. I didn't have a dad at home. I grew up in a single household with a bunch of siblings and everything. Multiple people living in home. So what you just described is what I was brought up in. We still make it in spite of that. And sometimes because of it.
Because
have a different type of strength about ourselves that say, hey, if we can survive that, we can survive anything, right? Mm-hmm. And so that is not a prerequisite for not being able to do or being able to do. Our children are still capable. And sometimes they only need just that one spark to get it right for them.
That one spark. Let's go back to the board. Rhonda said, I totally agree. Maybe this could be a further conversation among the alumni.
Which alumni?
Like, what she's saying is that our alumni is between Muskegon Public School, alumni, Muskegon Heights. We as alumni have the organizations where we could take this, what you are proposing, and say to the teachers or take it to the school boards and say, this could be a positive, great thing that we need.
Absolutely. Now come down, just like I went over to the other school district in Michigan. Yep, we come down, present to the school board or whoever it is, and let's make it happen. But we're looking to solve problems.
I had a boss one time that would say, he wouldn't say it was a problem. What he always told the staff to say, we have an opportunity.
I love that.
We have an opportunity,
yes,
to set things straight. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what we have in Muskegon, and we have all the things that you are facing, that you faced and that I faced. But the gap that you're talking about is huge here. How can we get you to come to Muskegon?
I just send an invite. You have the email. You have my contact information. Let's make sure that, you all have very specific who you want to meet, where we want to meet. And that was what happened, how I ended up in the other school district the other day. Mm-hmm. They attended one, reached out to me on email, and you all have already been emailing me, and set it up. And I met with a team of administrators, principals, and the superintendent, and went over, what the program is and how we can jump in and implement this program to get students up to par.
How important is for school boards and municipalities to admit that they have a problem or an opportunity that they're underscoring their kids are not being successful? Owning up to it.
Oh, extremely important. What they say, if you can't admit you have a problem, you can't begin to solve it, right?
Thank you.
Yes. So if we can't say that, and whether they say it or not, the data is saying it. The results are saying it. What is the, what does the income and wealth look like for the adults? What does the data look like for the students? Mm-hmm. Right. Almost every adult that would be in that particular area district probably came also through that school system.
Mm.
Right.
Right. Okay. So we have 8 minutes to solve all the world's problems, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's make sure everybody have every email, the website, addresses, how to contact you.
Yes, blackmapgenius.com, and all the contact information is going to be there. But to schedule to have me come out, support@urbanintellectuals.com. But you can save yourself some time just going to blackmapgenius.com. And when you do, you know, contact or whatever, that information gets directly to me. And then you just say, hey, we would like for Asada to come out to the school district. Here's the plan or what have you. And they'll put you in direct communication with me.
I want to take the last couple of minutes. Let me talk. What about that single parent that have the multiple kids? And like you said, instead of strangling and doing yoga to get their kid through the math or anything.
Yeah. First of all, stop having children. No, I'm just playing. But
well, like I said, don't let
on the ones you got now. Focus on the ones you got.
don't let a $5 sundress get you tied up. All right.
Okay. Please don't. Hey, don't let these new hoochie shorts that the men are wearing get you caught up either. Okay.
Please.
But you know, that's real, because you got to think about how much resources it takes to have a child. And when you have that new child, you're taking away something else from those other children. That's a real whole nother conversation. Mm-hmm. Time and everything. So you definitely have to be mindful of that. And so that's a whole nother conversation. But yes, for that single mom or dad that have multiple children, this is why it's a huge support, because you don't want to frustrate your child and have them build up an anxiety towards mathematics. Because that's a lot of times what parents do. You scare them so much that they have an anxiety built up towards mathematics because they're afraid to deal with you.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you to put on another hat here real quick. With all these shootings and deaths and stuff like that, what do we say to our children right now?
Yeah, it's a very violent place. And then I'm here in Chicago, and so it's really scary. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to the point where, you know, I would take my nieces and cousins, you know, downtown. But lately, even in downtown, we've been having crazy shootings. Mm-hmm. And so the conversations that I'm having with them, first of all, they're confused by it because they're still children.
Right.
And they sometimes don't get the fear that we have of not wanting them to do certain things or go to certain places. Mm-hmm. And so we have to have real conversations with them about what's happening. And sometimes we have to show them what's happening so that they understand. Because especially as children get older, they don't want to always be told what to do. You have to show them what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There are two areas that we refuse to fix in this country. One is dealing with these guns. And two is the mental health issues that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get into a whole nother conversation with this, but if we look at our diet and what we've been eating over the years, I think that's one thing that's contributing to mental health.
Or not eating.
Right. We're doing so many more drugs now. Overindulging in alcohol. And so there are a number of societal things that are happening, but we have to do something. There's no way that you need a gun that can fire off 50, 100 rounds in seconds. That's not hunting animals. That is not what their forefathers meant by a right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't take a serious look at it, I don't know what happens with that.
Well, not only that, how do we, you know, explain to our children when we have people running for office and say that this gun problem is because of Black people? I kid you not, that came out of somebody's mouth.
Wow. Well, so then you have to, I just asked this question of someone today, somewhere that I was at, and I said, please show me the plane tickets of Black people that are getting on planes, going over and getting these guns. Because in Chicago in particular, we have very strict laws on it.
Right.
So who's manufacturing them? Who's shipping them? And how are they getting into our communities? You have to ask the deep questions. You have to get to the root of the problems, right?
And what you brought out is the root, because the laws are very strict in Illinois, but the states beside you are very liberal.
Exactly.
So all you got to do is cross the border to get a Sherman tank if you want to.
Yeah, but the other thing is, most of these kids in our communities, I'm seeing them. I live in the hood here. They don't have cars and all. They're not going to get them.
But they're in the neighborhood.
But they're in the neighborhood like crazy.
Okay, so make me a promise and make Muskegon a promise that we're going to get you back on, if not get you here, number one. But two,
we're doing both. I'm back on and I'm there.
Okay, and then please tell people how to get in touch with you again.
Absolutely. BlackMapGenius.com. If you want to go direct to email, this is support@urbanintellectuals.com, support@urbanintellectuals.com. But BlackMapGenius.com, you can go that way as well. Click on contact. That information does get to me. That's how I got on this fabulous show here, which I enjoyed. Fantastic questions from your brother, Gregory. And I want to come to Muskegon, okay? I'm ready now. Rhonda and the folks that, conversing back and forth in the chat there. I love the interest, and I love people that are out here looking to solve problems, because that's what we're looking to do.
Going back to the board for the last second, Benita said, great conversation.
Thank you, Benita. Yes.
Applause. You're loved. You're loved.
I love them back. Yes. We have some important work to do, and we can only do it as a team.
There you go. So we're going to have her back. Sotomayor, I thank you so much. And we as a radio station and the West Michigan Health Network, we're going to get you here by train or whatever. We're going to get you here. Yeah. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Great show. Wow. I mean, full, just packed of information. We are definitely going to have her back. That was more than just one show. Okay. Anyway, listen, it's 3:00. I got to go. Listen, do something positive with, I'm going to make it specific. Do something with your kids. Sit down with your kids. They are stressed out right now for more reasons than one. So go spend time with them. You guys take care. Go sow a seed in somebody's life. Take care. I'll see you next week.